Okay. Thank you very much. May be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very humbling to stand behind this pulpit and in front of this crowd. I appreciate, value the men of God that are standing here behind me and all over this room. I'm really humbled to try and preach this morning to this crowd and this student body and to the faculty that's here. I just want to be a blessing this morning if I can. A little, maybe an unorthodox message, a little. Just want to bring something that has been a blessing to me. And I want to thank also the special song I was just sang. It's a blessing. Many times in my process of getting to this place, listening to that particular song really helped out a lot of times in my life. Genesis chapter 3. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Douglas, for being able to preach this morning, and Brother Young, thank you for inviting me to preach for chapel, and I'm so glad that Brother Dave Douglas is the president of the college. When I heard, and we heard, my wife and I heard at the same time, and we just smiled at each other. We said, that's it, and praise the Lord for that. We're really excited for Brother Douglas, and we value his friendship and his testimony and his wife, and it's just a blessing. We're really encouraged by it. Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says there in verse 1, and I'll just start reading if you follow along with me, and maybe I'll stop somewhere along maybe verse 13 or 14, and then we'll get right into the message. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing God, good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Let's go ahead and say a word of prayer. And even though I know it's a very familiar passage, and no doubt you've probably been preached the same truth, because there's nothing new to preach really the Word of God, but I want you to consider something this morning that I think it'll help you, if not today, tomorrow, and as it has helped me through a difficult time. So let's go say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, even though I know we've already prayed, Lord, and I know that your blessing is here at this place, and Father, I know that you're present, and your word is will be preached this morning. Father, I come to you, Lord, because I realize I can do nothing without you, and I cannot be effective or a blessing to anyone here let alone myself, unless the Spirit of the Lord helps me and takes over and speaks through me to the hearts, Lord. There's so many different situations represented in this room, different circumstances, different needs. Please use your word, Father, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we read through the passage, I don't need to go and deal the details of the story, but I call your attention to verse number 9, when the Lord came looking for Adam. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I'd like to preach to you this morning on that subject. Where art thou? Where art thou? I don't know how many times in my life in the ministry or in the Lord, I got saved when I was 16 years of age, that I have found myself in a place where I know I'm not supposed to be. Adam was running from the Lord here. You know, he's hiding from the Lord. That's hard to understand. When Adam had a very exclusive relationship with the Lord, something that we all can't wait to have with him when we get to heaven. And yet he finds himself here hiding from the Lord. And the Lord knew where he was. It wasn't like he didn't know where he was. But he was trying, he was asking a rhetorical question. He knew the answer, but he wanted Adam to realize where he wasn't supposed to be. And I can't stop to think, maybe some of us in the things of God and here in Bible college and preparing yourself for the ministry and serving the Lord in some capacity in the bus ministry or Sunday school class, or you sing specials or you sing the choir, whatever it is that you do. Sometimes we can be doing all the right things that we're supposed to do. We can be in the vicinity of where we're supposed to be. Active. You know, Adam was busy doing the things that God had told him to do. We know that part of his fellowship with the Lord was to obey him and to be busy for him. He gave him a work to do. And so there's no doubt Adam was busy doing what he was supposed to do, as most of us, that's what we do week after week. We kind of survive there at times, you know. We lean on that at times and say, well, so long as I keep doing what I'm supposed to do, we'll be okay. I'll get through this. I'll get through this rut spiritually. I'll get back where I'm on fire. You know, let me say something in parentheses. I don't think the Lord expects us to be on fire the whole time. I don't really think that God is that way. I believe God wants us in the right place. But he understands sometimes we're going to have difficulties. If not, just read the Word of God and all the men of God, how they had their ups and downs. There's men in the Bible that wanted to throw the towel and quit the ministry and not even preach in his name evermore. Yet the Lord brought him out of that. So I think the Lord understands our ups and downs, but what he doesn't understand is when we go away from where we're supposed to be. And that's exactly what we have here, and this applies to me in a very special way. I grew up in a home where mom and dad weren't ever home. And so we kind of raised ourselves, you know, I was out in the street all the time with my friends and trying to, you know, just ignore what was happening at home. And sometimes sometimes I'd find myself in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, somebody was doing something wrong, or I went with someone to the store to play video games, and next thing you know, he's running out the store saying, come on, let's go, and I'm thinking, where are we going? Just run. And then you see the clerk coming after us, you know. I think, what did you take? He said, I'll tell you when we get there, you know. And it's like you live that way. I remember at one time I woke up really early in the morning, and the liquor store was about a block away from our apartment there in Long Beach, and I woke up really early because I knew my dad had gotten home drunk the night before, and he always carried a lot of change in his pocket because he played music in a cantina, in a bar, and so people gave him change, you know, as he's singing, they'll drop change. So he always carried a bunch of quarters in his pocket. So I knew this, and so early in the morning, a Saturday morning, I woke up before everybody did, about maybe 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, and I went inside his pocket, and I took as many quarters as I could, and here I go, I'm about maybe 7, 8 years of age, and I'm walking down the street to get to the liquor store. Now, I'm not knowing that the liquor store is not open, won't be open until 9 o'clock that morning. But I get there, and it's closed, and a man gets off a car right in that corner, and and tries to grab hold of me and chases me down, and I knew he was trying to basically force me into this car. So I start running, and my heart's going 100 miles per hour. At this time, my English is not too, you know, I'm not doing too well in English yet, you know, so I'm barely learning. And so this guy's telling me some things, but I can see that he's trying to grab me, and the car's kind of going. He's trying to reach out for me. And so I start running, and I don't know what to do. I'm running, and I think I'm about to die, and I'm running. I hit the corner, and there's a man, an elderly man, working in his garage. And I see that, and I run towards him. And I get to the garage, and I'm telling him the best I can in English, help me, you know. This guy's trying to come after me. And he says, what man? And he grabs me, and he goes out to the street. And sure enough, when we walked out to the street, the guy was running back to his car. He got in his car, and he sped away. I don't remember what he looked like. I just remember that I felt like my life was going to end that day. And all those things and so many other stories I could probably tell you all chapel this morning. But it was like, if you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, you were going to get it. And then, if you weren't home, you didn't eat. You know, so you had to be home at a certain time, because if not, when you got home, because it was a big family, you didn't get anything. There was no leftovers. So you had to find something in the cupboards. I remember one time I was so hungry, and I grabbed some green beans in a can, and I opened it up, and I've always been a fan of mayonnaise, best foods. And I took mayonnaise, and I dipped it in that little can of green beans, and I mixed it all up, and I said, I'm going to have myself a cereal of green beans with mayonnaise. And it's really good, by the way. And so I start eating it, right? I'm thinking, man, I don't care. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat this. So I start eating my green beans. And sure enough, halfway, I start puking all over the place. And so I'm thinking, oh, no. You know, all because I didn't come home in time to eat dinner. You know, sometimes as we're getting in the ministry and as we're in the things of the Lord, sometimes we're just in the wrong place, spiritually speaking. The Lord wants to do things in our life. The Lord calls us to do things. He has His expectations. He has His plans in our lives. But sometimes I found myself not being where God wanted me to be. Even though I was doing everything I was supposed to do, even though I was busy about, you know, the things of God and doing what I'm supposed to do, but I wasn't where He wanted me to be as far as my relationship with Him. So I don't know, maybe this might apply to one person this morning. Maybe just to me. I'm okay with that. Maybe everybody here is like, man, this guy, man, what's his problem? Doesn't he realize we're all right with God here? And you're preaching to the choir. And maybe that's the case. But I want to bring this thought to you this morning. And I ask you this question. Where art thou? Where art thou? What's happened to you? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you where you're supposed to be with the Lord? What happened? What went wrong? What made you want to hide? What made you stop desiring to be at the place where God would come down and spend time with you? There's a special place in our old home where we left in California, that a little sofa there in the living room. And times of my life, I spend a lot of time there early in the morning. I remember at times my son Andy, he's here, he'd wake up in the morning early to go maybe use the restroom. And I remember one time I was praying early. I didn't know this was going to happen, but he woke up, and I guess he saw me on my knees, and he came up and he climbed. He would just fall asleep. He was half asleep. And he climbed up on top of my back, and he just like laid there and fell asleep. He's snoring on top of my back while I'm trying to pray, you know. And, you know, I try to get up and take him to his bed, and it was a special place for me. It was something that I knew that's where God was waiting for me. But I'm ashamed to say that so many times I'd walk by there, and I was just so busy for the Lord, you know. You know how it is. You're just so busy. Lord, I just don't have time right now. I'll spend time with you later, Lord. I got this. I'm so busy. I'm always running behind time. And I don't know how many times it was that I'd walk by there, and it's like I'd look in the corner of my eye, and I knew God was waiting for me there. And no matter how busy I get, I'd be singing in the bus route or be with the teens or whatever it was, It was like that was inside my heart thinking, you were supposed to stop there. But you just walked by. You see, the Lord had given everything to Adam and Eve. They never would need anything else. The devil did a great job emphasizing what they didn't have. But they had everything else that they would ever need. All their needs would be fulfilled in his will. They didn't need that terrible tree. They didn't need whatever good that thing was. It was momentarily. It just went by so quickly. But they threw away everything that God had planned for them. In the circumference of his will, in his perfect will, everything that they would ever need was there. And it was pivotal. It was pivotal that they would remain in his perfect will, in the center of his will. Because that's exactly what he intended for them. His fellowship, his presence, his comfort, his warmth. They were naked. They didn't need to be cold. They didn't need to be covered. There was purity. There was innocence. There was protection. Everything that you can try and find in life, you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to work for it. It was there. But the devil did exactly what he does to most of us. He emphasized what we don't have. What he makes us think that we need. And that one thing takes us away from where the Lord is expecting us to be spiritually. I don't know what that one thing is. It could be a simple hobby. It could be an entertainment. It could be a relationship. It could be whatever it is, a sin, what have you. But something that God does not intend for us to have. And he wants us in the right place where he can give us his will and spend time with us and love on us and give us that protection and the blessing and talk to us. Remember, the Bible says he called unto Adam. He called, and I want God's calling on my life. I want to be able to listen. I think of Eli, that Samuel went to him how many times and says, hey, what do you need? Go back to sleep, Samuel. Go back to sleep. Again, here's the voice. And Eli could not even recognize anymore the voice of God. I think of Peter. How the Bible says he went fishing. The Lord had to go find him. He had to go look for him. He had to find him in a place where he wasn't supposed to be. And Peter had to clothe himself because he realized, oh no, the Lord is here. You know, the master's here. And he clothed himself because he wasn't the right place. And he gets to meet with him in the beach. And thank God, God helps him to come back and restores him. And the Lord uses him in a great way. But how embarrassing to think that the Lord would have to go find me. The Lord would have to stoop down and go somewhere where he's appointed me. He loves me. He takes care of me. He's given me so many blessings I don't ever need. That's why the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But things take me away from that. And the Lord has to be finding me. Like if he's begging me to. Like if he's the benefactor, like if he's the one that's gonna benefit from me coming to him. No, he wants to be he wants to be a blessing. He wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified because that's how God is. But we are the benefactors. We are the ones that get the blessing. And the Lord says, "Where art thou, Adam? It makes no sense to me. This is where you and I have spent morning after morning, talking, fellowshipping." Me loving on you. Where art thou? I'm going to say four things, or talk about four things this morning. Four questions. Where art thou spiritually this morning? Where art thou spiritually? Notice with me in 2 Timothy 1:13, please. 2 Timothy 1:13. Second Timothy 1:13. The Bible says there, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. God calls us to hold fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 talks about being unmovable, steadfast in the faith. God wants us to be spiritually where we're supposed to be. You know, the Christian life, it's about growing. It's about, you know, we sang about, the song just now was about, were it not for grace, where would we be without grace? Grace is the one thing that makes a difference in our life, that keeps us going when we don't want to go, that keeps us fighting when we don't want to fight anymore. It's God's grace that enables us. The Christian life is supposed to be something that we're getting closer and growing in the Lord. Yet so many of us, we fall so easily to the attractions of the devil and the distractions of the devil, I should say. And we get away from spiritually being where we're supposed to be. You know, I mentioned Eli, I mentioned Peter, but there's so many other examples in the Word of God, that men of God that weren't where they're supposed to be. I think of David. Instead of being out in the battle where he's supposed to be, it was the time of the kings to go and fight. Yet David decided to go and decide to stay instead of going and not find himself where he was supposed to be. And I think if you read through the scripture there, you find that Saul would do the same thing with Samuel. They go up on top of the lofts there. They go up on top of the rooftops and they would commune. They would fellowship with the Lord. And somehow I'm thinking maybe David at one time saw that he saw Saul and Samuel up there maybe communing, fellowshipping up there. And he probably felt guilty. I don't know. I'm not going to read between the lines. I'm not going to go into something that the Word of God. But I'm thinking there's got to be a reason why David was up there. But it's funny how we try to fabricate our being right with God by doing the things that we think that's going to make us be right with God. Let me say something that I'm sure you know already. Who we are is more important than what we do. You can be the most active bus worker. You can be the most famous bus captain. You can be the most famous worker. You can have kids loving. You can be doing all the things that you're supposed to do. Yet inside in your spiritual walk and who you are really, if you are not where you're supposed to be spiritually, you're not where you're supposed to be. And I wonder how many times the Lord, even in my busyness, and I'm doing this and doing that, and people might applaud you even. God says, but where art thou, Andy? Where art thou? Oh, but Lord, can't you see I'm busy? I'm on the run, and I got to help this, and I got to hold hell, and I got to go to this hospital. I got to counsel that. But I'm thinking, God's saying, but where art thou? What do you mean, Lord, where art thou? Don't you see I'm busy? I think of Martha. Cumbered and thinking, oh, look at me. I'm the only one working here. And look at Mary. She's over there on her knees. Lord, can you tell her something? Because it seems like I'm the one that's carrying all the burden here. No one else wants to work. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Where art thou? You should be right here next to Mary. Remember when they broke the alabaster and Judas was like, we could have gave that money to the poor. Good night, what's going on here? We don't have time to be worshiping and adoring the Lord Jesus. Use the money for something more. And Jesus said very clearly, the poor you always will have. Not me. Where art thou this morning spiritually? How's your appetite for the things of God? How's your appetite for the Word of God? How's your communion with Him? How's your walk? I know the message is very simple. Trust me, I know it's just a simple message this morning. But where art thou with your fellowship? Where art thou in the time that you have that one sacred place, and maybe in your dorm, or maybe when everybody leaves, you've looked for a place, or maybe next to the pond over here, or maybe over around behind the gym, or maybe somewhere over here, or in the balcony, maybe in here in the chapel, or you find there's a one particular place where God has met with you, where God has dealt with you, where God has touched you and spoken to you and given you His direction and comfort, and it's been a long time since you've gone over there. It's been a long long time that you know it, you've driven by it, you've seen it, you walk by it, and you've tried to ignore it as best possible. You find yourself in the bushes and not where God wants you to be. Second question, where art thou positionally? Because see, technically speaking, he was in the bushes hiding. He was over there where the devil was. He was over there where the world, this world, could give him protection, where this world can give him cover. And I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, as David did, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, he fell into sin. God calls us to be positionally where we're supposed to be. The right place, with the right crowd, in the right circle, in the right place where God wants us to be. Not somewhere out there enjoying the things of this world. Not enjoying the things of the world and the things of God. Lord, help us, because we're not where we're supposed to be positionally. We've gone astray from the jealous God. God, I think of Moses in Deuteronomy, when God gave him the second time the law, and he came down and gave it to his people. But the Bible says there in Deuteronomy that he went back up on the mountain and he said to the Lord, I'm going to stay in the mountain. And I think of that. Why would Moses do that? And if you keep reading there, you find out that he makes mention of the first time how he had to come down because of the noise and the music. And he came down from the mountain and his time was cut short with the Lord. And he went down and dealt with sin. And he broke the commandments. And he had to deal with this people for 40 years. And then finally gets to a place, and the second time God gives him the commandments. But this time Moses says, but this time I'm going to stay on the mountain just a little longer, Lord. I'm going to stay right here. Because I think Moses wanted to, this time around, say, I'm not going to hurry down the mountain this time. I just want to stay up here for a little longer and enjoy my fellowship with the Lord. How many of us have come down from that mountain of holiness? How many of us come down from that mountain, that place where God wants you to be, for the music, for the noise of this world, for the pleasures of this world, for maybe some sin, or you think you're getting away with sin, and you don't realize what the sin has done in your life. It's caused you to realize you're naked. It's caused you to hide, to be embarrassed. You're not the same person. Therefore, because positionally, you're not right with the Lord. That's why you quiver at serving the Lord. That's why you shake at taking initiative, and God's calling you to do more for the Lord. Some of you, the Lord wants to use you in a greater capacity, but you've on purpose taken a back seat. On purpose, you've been quiet. You don't want to do more for the Lord because you don't want to commit. You don't want to get more involved. And I'll tell you what it is. It's not that you can't or you're tired of it. It's the fact that positionally you know you're wrong. You know that you're not in the right place, spiritually speaking and positionally speaking. You've changed your convictions. You're not the same person than when you first came to college. You were on fire for God. You remember that? How you wouldn't fall asleep in chapel like some of you guys are falling asleep right now. Why? You know why? Because you've heard it all. You've heard it all, and I know some of you guys are tired. Well, I'm not ignorant of the fact that you sometimes work long hours, but where's that desire? Where's that young person that when you first got here, were the one that's fighting for the front seat, that walked in shaking at your knees, wondering, oh my goodness, I'm in the chapel of Hiles Anderson College. Wow, man, yes, preach, it's good, I want more. Does it have to stop? But now it's like, and you rest on, well, so-and-so knows me. Brother Francis and I, we're good friends. And because I'm the bus captain here, and because I'm the teacher here, and because Brother Froki always says hi to me, and because Brother Cowley, he knows my name. And we rest upon all these things when we know positionally we're not where we once were. How are you doing on your music? How are you doing on movies? Been going to movie theaters? It's all right though, right? Because I don't have to believe like you believe. As a matter of fact, Brother Gomez, I don't even like you. But that's okay. It's not about the preacher. And that's exactly what the devil does. He distracts us. See, Adam was thinking, I'm naked. Eve, cover yourself. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to the bushes. There's a lot of us in the bushes today. covering ourselves up because we're ashamed. And God's saying, where art thou? Before you weren't ashamed. Before you were here. Before you had a desire. Before you wouldn't go to sleep without praying for everybody on the list of your bus route. Before you'd be the first one up. Before I remember when you would fast for God to give you a good day on Sunday. Where art thou? My next question, where art thou emotionally? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, a verse that we know well, for 2 Timothy verse 7, chapter 1. I'm about to finish here. The Bible says in verse 7, 2 Timothy 1:7, I'm sorry. For God had not given us the spirit of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Over here in the story of Adam and Eve, the Bible says they were afraid. How can you be scared of God? You know when I've been scared of God? When I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. As a matter of fact, we become professionals at it because when the preaching's hot and it's direct, we do things to distract ourselves. I had a teenager once tell me, Brother Gomez, you don't understand. He says, when we're sitting there and you're preaching, what we do is find a spot on the wall right kind of in the vicinity of your head, and we focus ourselves on that little thing. And you think all along that we're paying attention to you and that, wow, you're paying attention. But we don't even listen to what you're saying. We're just watching that little spot. I looked at him and was like, what? Are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, I'm sorry to break it to you. So the next time I came up to preach, I put a little spot in my forehead, friends. And I preached that way. And that guy was like, whoa. Yeah. It's amazing. We become professional Christians. We know exactly what to do because emotionally, we're not where we're supposed to be. Some of us are thinking, maybe it was a mistake to come to college because it's too hard. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Some of us are intimidated by circumstance, yet we don't understand that God's using all these things to refine us, to make us tough like a soldier would have to go through boot camp and get tough and learn how to get to his limits, his personal limits, and what he can handle and what he can't handle, and emotionally and physically. And you get it to the point where you're almost going to break him. And then they once they get him there, they pin him a graduation medal and say, yeah, you did it. And he's thinking, man, I can do anything now. And let me at him. Give me a rifle. I'm ready to go, as they would do in a football team or in anything else. You push someone to their limits just so they can understand that they can go farther, that they can endure, that they can keep working. And some of us, that's why God has us going through the trials he's having, because he knows us. He knows how you are. He knows how weak we are. He knows how insecure some of us are. And he doesn't want us to bring those things into the ministry. That's why in college sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes we don't eat. And sometimes we don't have anything. And sometimes it's hard. Why? Because God is trying to build us to get us to the place where we're supposed to be. That's why not everybody handles it. Because they got distracted by the devil. And they went off into the bushes. And when it came time for God's calling, they weren't in the right place. And God says, I sought for a man, but I could not find one. Lastly, because time, where art thou physically? I know I said positionally, but physically. In regards to the prodigal son, he was far from his father's home. And he found himself doing those things that to a Jew was blasphemy. To be with pigs was a blasphemy for a Jew. And he's over there eating the crumbs and handling pigs. And there he remembers and he says, Lord. And the first thing that came to his mind was how good it was at his father's house. And you start thinking about the servants and how they are being fed right food and the things of the pleasures of the fathers. And he starts thinking of that and he says, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my father. And he works his way back home. And he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to be in the back of the list and the line now. And I'm not going to be able to serve like I used to serve. I won't be able to do what I used to do. I've been the wrong place, far from God. Oh, I'm so ashamed. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my father. I'm not worthy of being one of his sons and worthy of all the blessings. And he came humble and he said, Lord, please. He saw his father from afar. The Bible says, and the father ran to him. And that's what that passage is. It's all about the father's love and not about the son. But we see it both ways, right? And the father's running to the son and he hugs him. And he does everything that the son didn't expect his father to do. Because God does not move. He's in the same place. And if you feel you're far from God, it's not God being far from you. It's that you physically are far from God. And you know how far it's going to take you? What the distance is for you to get close to God again? It's just from your knees to the ground. That's how close God is. But you just got to take a knee and say, Lord, I've been in a place where I'm not supposed to be. I think God so many times has told me, Andy, I'm okay with you serving me. And I'm glad. What about you and me? What about you and I? Where art thou, Andy? How many mornings has it been? How many weeks? How many months? Where art thou? What's wrong with you? Could it be that that's why you're so frustrated? That's why you're so short with people? Your attitude has changed? You're not the same person anymore? Could it be that's why you're just so indifferent? It's all about the relationship between you and her in the bushes and no longer about the relationship that matters, him and you. You find yourself running from God, hiding from him, trying to get this thing that you have in your life in between the bushes, trying to figure that out when God already gave you everything you needed right in the center of his will. The message is very simple, really. But where art thou? Father, please bless the message.